Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. Giants hire Joe Judge. And we bring in the foremost authority on the New York Giants and their move today, and that is the great Larry David. Yeah.
World's foremost.
That's right. You're really locked in on this. You assume they were going to hire Judge all along.
I thought. Right. did anybody call that? Nobody.
No one called it.
Was his name? I never read his name anywhere.
Other than the fact that they interviewed him, that was all.
Oh,
he
was interviewed.
Yes,
okay,
right.
I don't even think I read that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't one of, like, the top four or five names that we
read
about.
No, well, this is eerily similar to Daniel Jones. Like, nobody heard anything about Jones until we got closer to the draft, and nobody heard about Judge until it seemed like everybody else didn't want the job. Maybe this will go the way of Jones, right? They seem to like this unknown, shock the world, and hopefully it'll work out.
How did you feel about Jones this year? Did you like him?
I did. And I wanted to see how it was going to play out. I mean, they knew more about drafting quarterbacks than I did, and just because he wasn't a popular selection.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They really don't. I mean, when you think about the fact that Bill Polian wanted to make Lamar Jackson a wide receiver, what does anybody know? They don't know anything.
Now, you're a big Jet fan. What do you think about Darnold? How did he look this year other than the mono?
I stopped watching after they were 2-7.
Wow. Really?
You made a decision.
Well, I golf on Sunday, so I have to. First of all, I tape the games.
Okay.
And then I would come back after golf, and I would go through one of those days where, don't tell me the score, no score. And so then I would go home and I'd watch, and, nothing surprised me at all.
Now, I didn't even know this. I found this out today, but you are actually a part of the Jets hierarchy, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Mike Tannenbaum was on with our 10-1 show today. And when he got hired as the GM of the Jets, you don't even know this, Peter, this is what he said about an interaction with Larry David.
2006, my first year as general manager, about 5 days before the draft, phone rings. My assistant comes in and says, Larry David's on the phone. I'm like, get out of here. Larry David's on the phone. Larry David's on the phone for you. Pick it up. Mike, this is Larry. You got to draft Reggie Bush. You have to draft him. So long story short, we had a great conversation. I'm like, Larry, we'd love to send you some Jet stuff. And, what size are you? And he, puts me on hold, covers up the phone. It's like, Dolores, what size am I? Am I a large? Am I, totally in character?
That's crazy.
Long story short, we hit it off. We go out there. We spend the day with him. And he is one of these guys that literally will drive a Toyota Prius to his private plane. And we're leaving him. And we're like, Larry, what are you doing tonight? He's like, I got invited to a bowling party, but I hate the shoes. The shoes, they're dirty. Other people wear them. Like, he was totally, his life is his character. He was as authentic as you could be, and he's a huge Jets fan. So when he's on today, make sure you ask him about what, his thoughts are on Coach Gase and Sam Darnold.
All right, so first of all, they didn't listen to you about Bush.
No, they didn't.
Sad. Very sad.
No, that was a good draft for them, by the way. Ferguson, DeBrickashaw, Ferguson, and Nick Mangold, yeah.
Now, have you had any Joe Douglas interaction? Have you called the Joe Douglas?
No, I haven't reached out to Joe.
You should. He's tremendous.
Yeah, but I did call Mike Maccagnan before the 2018 draft, and I recommended that he draft Lamar Jackson. I have a witness.
Really?
Yes, I have a witness.
And what did he say to you when you said that?
He kind of gave me the most condescending.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So you actually told him that?
Yeah, I told him that. He kind of he laughed at me, but who can blame him? Nobody thought Jackson was going to be
except for the Ravens.
Except for the Ravens. Yeah,
so what are your thoughts on Gase?
I can't take the hat. I can't take a coach wearing a hat constantly. He tells me that there's something about him. He's not comfortable with himself. Because I when I started doing stand-up, I wasn't comfortable, and I started putting a hat on because it gave me like a different persona, a different character, because I was hiding. That's what he's doing. He's hiding. Either he's hiding baldness or there's something about his personality that he's uncomfortable with. But you can't trust a man who wears a hat. He's got to take the hat off. He's got to face the public. He's got to be out there. Get rid of the hat.
Well, but he has it so close to his eyes, I think he's trying to hide the
eyes. Yeah, you know the eyes. I mean, we play this whenever we talk about him, thanks to you.
All right, crazy eyes killer. All right, crazy eyes killer.
Like, he's crazy eyes killer. We think he's covering the eyes because he got ripped in his initial press conference.
Yeah.
Remember the fall on the taco? Remember
yeah,
that meme?
I remember, yeah.
You see memes? Do memes make it to you?
Occasionally I see them, yeah. When they play the Curb music, is that what you're talking
about? Yes, yeah, those are big ones. Yeah,
right.
Now, Larry David is here because tonight the first episode of the 10th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to be shown at a sold-out event at the 92nd Street Y, and I'm lucky enough that I'm going to do a Q&A with Larry at the event. I was looking up some stuff today to talk about with you. Do you realize it's 20 years?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
10 seasons took 20 years. But it took 5 years between seasons 8 and 9.
That's a good boss that said, yeah, take your time.
Right. I have to admit, other than you guys, I have a pretty good job, but nobody can beat this job that you have. This job, this is, as the kids say, sick. You know? I mean, this is insane. You come here, you talk about sports, it's crazy. Crazy.
You would do this job?
In a second.
Really? Yeah. There's a boss in there. He would hire you in a second.
Yeah, the GM's waiting right there. That Gentile man there, Tim McCarthy.
No, this is Peter. You really lucked out with this.
Right? Yeah. I know. They threw me in here 4 years ago. Yeah. It's been...
I don't know how the hell you pulled this off. This is fantastic.
Thank you. I got to tell you, I admire your job. So I was thinking about this the other day. You've been on since I was in college, Curb started.
Yeah.
And he went to the same college as you.
Oh, yeah. And I went to Maryland.
Oh, yeah. I went to Maryland.
I know.
Yeah.
You, me, Jim Henson, Len Bias.
Len Bias.
I know. I'm sorry to bring
brought
up
everybody
that.
Down.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring
What's
that
good?
Down. Come on. But you were on in the prime and the very beginning and prime of The Sopranos. Did you and Gandolfini have any crossover experiences?
No, never met.
Never met him one time?
Wow.
Wow. And even though you guys were at prime time at the same...
Yeah.
At the very same moment.
Yeah.
Did you expect, how long did you think the run would be when you started Curb?
One season.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Seinfeld was going to be one season. I just don't, I don't know. I just couldn't imagine it going this long for sure. My agent once said to me, you know, back in those days, he says, you know, if you do 10 seasons, you could get into syndication. And I laughed in his face, and here I am 10 seasons later.
Now, I thought about this question driving in. Are you closer, in real life, are you closer to Larry David in Curb or George Costanza at Seinfeld? who's closer to the real you?
That's
very
a good question. There are many elements of both, I'm afraid. Probably Curb Larry, yeah.
Really?
Well, Curb Larry is more of my idealized version of what a person should be. He's a fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What you'd like to be.
What I'd like to be, whereas Costanza is more of the worst parts of me. Costanza's who I don't want to be. TV Larry's who I want to be.
Yeah. But there's a lot of you in both.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is Curb less or more fun because you're in it, as opposed to Seinfeld?
Well, Seinfeld was a lot of... Jerry and I had a great time writing together. But I guess it's more fun being in the show. Being in the show is a lot of fun because people insult me all the time, and that really makes me laugh. I don't know if anybody has ever called you vile names...
Oh, sure.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, you do
Michael.
It all the time.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
The biggest insults I get on a daily basis are from Michael and my wife. Forget Twitter.
Yeah, but you don't laugh at him. See, on the show, I can laugh at him. In life, I don't get insulted that much. I don't have a Michael.
Michael in your life would just be mean to you all the time.
Yeah. I'm available for that if you like.
But Don, you know, I'm really into the Rangers this year.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm calling the game tonight.
Yeah, I wish I could go, but we got this event. Yeah.
Shesterkin making his National Hockey League debut.
I know.
So I didn't realize you were
When did you get so dialed into the Rangers?
Are you serious?
You've always been. I didn't know.
Always.
Always.
Always. Yes.
Rangers. Did you do your homework on this interview?
Rangers.
95, the Devil Ranger episode. Putty.
Oh, that's a good play. Yeah. I forgot that existed. That's right.
By the way, I couldn't watch the first two periods of the Messier game. Couldn't watch.
While you were golfing?
I was too nervous. It was like when Patterson fought Johansson.
Right.
I was so nervous because I was a Patterson fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was so nervous. My father wouldn't let me listen to it on the radio. He said, "You're not listening."
Really?
Yeah. And so I was so nervous for that Devils Rangers game. I couldn't
so
watch
what
it.
Made you go to the third period? Just because you
I
had to check in?
I had to check in.
And they were losing.
Yeah, they were losing. Yeah. So I thought, well, at this point, it doesn't matter.
Now, you're also a big Yankee fan. Do you like what they've done this year?
Yeah, Cole, well, that was such a risk.
They're edgy.
No, how can you not like
Cole? You know
Cole?
What? I liked the team 2 years ago when before Stanton. Not that I have anything against Stanton. I just like it because they didn't really have the big free agents. People started to actually like the Yankees 2 years ago.
They were a lovable bunch.
They were a lovable bunch. It was interesting because I had never experienced – we hadn't experienced that in 30 years
mm-hmm.
or since Steinbrenner took over probably. And people really liked the team, as did I. I probably would get more satisfaction going to the World Series with that team than I would with Cole and Stanton if he was healthy. Yeah.
Now, you've told the story to me before, but let me ask you on this show. Steinbrenner was a part of Seinfeld. How much interaction was there with George Steinbrenner to get his permission to use it? And how close did you guys come to actually having him play George Steinbrenner?
There was never a thought to him playing George Steinbrenner. But it was just a call from Jerry.
To George. To George Steinbrenner.
To ask him if we could use his name on the show.
But in the last episode, you guys wanted to use him, right? To show his face?
In the last episode, yes. We decided, okay, we're going to put him in the show. And I guess Jerry must have called him because he came out, he did the show, he left. Then we started editing the show and he was terrible. It was beyond bad. You know? it was completely unusable.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Completely.
He was good on Saturday Night Live.
I know, but here's the thing. I had been doing the voice over the back of the guy's head.
Right.
And, it was kind of funny, that voice over the back of his head, and the guy's gesticulating as I'm doing it. And so to go from that voice, that comedic voice, to Steinbrenner, camera on him, terrible acting throughout, it just didn't work. So, of course, you know this story. I had to call him up and tell
what
him.
What was that like?
I actually called Yankee Stadium. I got him on the phone. They got him, and he got on the phone, and I said, Mrs. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David from the Seinfeld show. He goes, yes, what's going on? I go, well, and I'm hemming and hawing. He goes, you could tell me I'm a big boy. I can take it.
I already get why you didn't use him.
Yeah.
So then
I told him we had to cut him from the show, and that was.
So yeah. That tape somewhere exists somewhere.
You mean that phone call?
No. The actual video.
The actual footage.
Do you have that at home somewhere?
I don't have the footage, but I'm sure it's somewhere. Yeah.
That would be priceless to see.
You know what? I hadn't thought about it, but that sounds like a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Why Pepitone for the jersey in that episode?
Did we say the name Pepitone?
Yeah.
Probably because it's a funny sounding name.
Yeah, it is.
So not because of a particular fondness for him as
no,
a...
I did like him, but it's a good name. Pepitone. Yeah.
Was there you're someone that doesn't hate the Mets, right?
So not at all. Right. I like the Mets.
So, but
yeah.
Was there ever just
I like the Mets and the Giants. I'm a Giants fan too.
Oh, so what do you want to say? What do you want to say?
I want to say to Ron Malupica, I've called you a sports fraud before. You're cool with that, right?
Sports fraud?
Yeah, but you can't root for both teams.
No, you're crazy.
Wow, crazy?
No, you're crazy.
Well, you just get to pick which team is hot, and I'll just follow them?
No, if the Mets are doing well, only when they play each other do I root for the other.
You root for the Yankees when they play the
Mets? When they play the Mets, I root for the Yankees. But I'll go to Met games. I'll root for the Mets. How dare you, Don?
I just think it's hard because it's territoriality, right? I mean, you grow up, but Yankee fans are arrogant to Met fans and vice versa. Met fans are impossible to deal with in 86.
I rooted for the Mets in 86.
Do you know that
they played the Red Sox? Who do you want me to root for?
You just don't watch. You missed the first two periods of game six. You can miss a whole game.
Don, I was jumping in the air in that ninth inning.
Billy Crystal was sitting here, and Don took exception to the fact that Billy Crystal is a big Yankee fan and wore the Met hat in City Slickers. And he called him a fraud. And Billy Crystal did not like it.
I can live with that. What am I supposed to? This is what I do.
I get where you're coming from with the fraud stuff. But
right. It doesn't mean that I hate you.
Why would I make it up? I'm not going to make up that I like them.
No.
Who am I supposed to? Who am I supposed to please by saying that?
Well, I can't call fans a fraud, and then when Kevin James is here, not call him a fraud for rooting for the Islanders and Rangers. I'm just trying to be consistent. That's all.
The Islanders and Rangers.
That's the division. That's tough to do.
That's the line.
That I don't get.
But Jerry's
that's different. They're playing each other, 20 right. times a year. That's a whole different thing.
So you got a lot of Mets in there. The Keith Hernandez episode is iconic, and then you got your Yankee stuff. So how did that work with you and Jerry? Because Jerry's a big Met fan, so how was the back and forth with that?
Well, because of the, I don't know, that show that we did. I don't know why we had to use Keith, but I don't remember. Yeah.
But that was, Keith was perfect.
Keith was great.
Yeah, he was great.
You sort of have developed this brilliant reputation of like everybody loves you, but everyone's like, oh, if you meet Larry, you don't want to bother him. You know he's not trying to schmooze it up all day.
From your mouth to God's ear.
Exactly. You've done a great job. People know it. Like, everyone I know, Larry, who's met you. In fact, my agent met you the other day. He was wearing Larry David cufflinks at the Golden Globes.
Oh, my God. That was him?
That's Dipperstein, my agent.
Wow.
Yeah. So he loves you, by the way, of course.
What cufflinks? It had my face on his cufflinks.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, beautiful.
Did he get a cut for that?
No, I don't know if Larry sees a cut. I think those are bootleg. But you've done this great job developing this reputation that people know I'm not going to bother you. In fact, everyone who gets a picture with him, I'm not kidding. I know four people have a picture with Larry David. They're all blurred because everyone's so rushed trying to get their quick picture. The question is, though, do you enjoy this part of celebrity, or did you enjoy pre-Curb more when people knew your name but didn't know your face constantly?
I enjoy this more. It's fun to walk around. Everybody's your friend. Not everybody, but a lot of people are your friend. I've gotten, when I couldn't get a cab, I've had people, hey, Larry, hey, you need a ride. Hey, where you go? And I'll get in the car.
Wait, no way.
Come on.
You'll get in a stranger's car?
Twice I've gotten a stranger's car to get someplace. Twice.
How'd that work out?
In New York. Worked out perfectly.
You're still here.
Yeah. One time I was late for the Letterman show, and I was starting to panic. Yeah. And because the car didn't show up. So I'm looking. Hey, Larry. I go, hey, could you take me to 55th? Hey, I told him there.
Nobody would ever believe that.
Yeah, because yeah,
now what'd you and talk done, about in the car? Twice. What'd you talk about in the car?
What do we talk about?
Did he annoy you?
No. I mean, it was doing me a favor. You know what? You can't be annoying.
Did you give him any money or anything?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. He just did you a huge favor. You're going to be late for Letterman. You throw him $10 or something?
But Larry did the guy a favor, letting him have time with him.
No, I didn't give him any money, Don. Right. That would be insulting.
That's funny. We had that same conversation.
Yeah.
About the lady at the garden, our friend at the garden who dropped off my computer.
Dawn,
and you guys thought I should hand her $20.
You gotta make an offer.
If you're friends with the person, I think it's weird.
It's possible I did. Maybe I did, Don.
That would be a good episode, right? Do you tip the friend?
Did you ever have?
But by the way, not a bad idea.
Yeah, right. That'd be perfect.
Not a bad idea, Don.
Now
I don't need any.
Why did he bench Kako in that third period after he scored first goal in?
Why 14, do I love hearing him say that?
First goal in 14 games and an assist. He benches him because he takes a bad penalty.
Right.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
But you got to learn when you take the bad penalties. You can't be out there in these one goal games. Every game is important. I can't believe I'm breaking down hockey with Larry Dave.
But you think putting him on the bench is going to make him? You don't think he knows that he took a bad penalty? He knows. Benching him isn't going to do anything. They need another goal.
He's done a good job. I'm not going to question Quinn.
Wow, Homer.
He's 18 years old.
You are such a fraud.
He won't question his team.
Did you ever have any envy of Jerry Seinfeld's? Celebrity in a show that you were equal co-creator with, that you weren't on camera.
I didn't want to be on camera.
You didn't want to play George Costanza?
There was never a moment when that was talked about where it was even considered. I had no thoughts of doing it.
Really?
That. Yeah, not one.
And once it became this huge cultural thing, there still wasn't envy.
No. No, I was fine. I was happy doing what I was doing.
So with the lips on the 20 when you're at the bodega, like, how do you end up on camera there? If you didn't really want to be on camera, how did you end up?
It may have been a last-minute thing. An actor, isn't there, or we just thought of it at the last second. I'll do it.
Was it a tremendous amount of work? I read books about it that it was just exhausting.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Yeah. Not like this.
Not like this. Yeah. But was it so much work that you couldn't enjoy it? Because you have like 5-year gaps and there are plenty of time to enjoy it.
Yeah. We were right on the line. I mean, some of it was so enjoyable and some of it was, holy mackerel, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this?
Jerry told a great story on the Mark Twain presentation for Julia Louis-Dreyfus that network people give you notes and they're always useless.
Yeah.
But after your first show, they said, you kind of need a woman. And they brought in, he said, that's the first network note that ever worked.
Yeah.
So she wasn't,
yeah, she wasn't in the pilot.
Right. It was that, but there was a woman in the pilot. She was the waitress, right?
Yeah.
Did you have bigger plans for her?
Step. Yeah. You know, we didn't know what we were doing. Just did a pilot. There were no plans. But I'm glad they said something.
Do you
because
like?
She's unbelievable. She was such a huge.
She's the greatest.
Did you have a favorite recurring character in Seinfeld?
You mean other than the four?
Yeah, other than the four.
Well, Newman. Newman was great.
Now, on a darker question, what are you guys going to do in Curb without a guy that's such a big part of Curb? I mean, he passed away.
What a tragedy. Yeah, that was
Bob
horrible.
Einstein.
Yeah.
What do you do? Will you address it this year?
We address it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got – I don't really want to say what we did exactly, but
– But it is referred.
We did something, yeah.
Now, your dad in the show also passed away.
Yes.
Was that since the last episode was December of 2017? Did Shelley Berman pass away since then? I think he did.
I don't remember. I stopped writing a father for me in the show after my father died.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just couldn't do it? It didn't feel right?
I just didn't think of anything.
Was that like your dad, the Shelley Berman character?
No.
Not at all?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Are you surprised that, like, I was making the jokes earlier about the Jewish part of it, and it really is. I mean, I was talking about this with my brother yesterday. You are so significant in America in general, but in Jewish homes, you really are such a significant character. Did you think that it would cross over so much and everyone would sort of get the shtick, or did you think it was a little bit more niche at first?
I never thought that I was only working for a particular segment of the population. I didn't think that, oh, only Jews are going to get this. I didn't think that.
But do you get a lot of extra love?
What I get is walking down the street, I get Jews coming up to me going, hey, Larry, I'm a Jew.
Yeah. Believe me, it's my whole life.
Hey, congratulations. Good for you. Yeah.
That's my whole life.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're not a New York-based radio personality where people just yell out, hey, Jew, on the street.
Well, they're
singing Beatles songs. You're not hearing it the right way.
I hope so.
That's just awful.
And that happens.
That's terrible.
Line. Yo, I don't normally like Jews, but. And I'm like, that's not a good start.
Bad.
When did you realize that J.B. Smoove was going to be around for a long time?
As soon as he auditioned, he turned and looked at me. And I burst out laughing, and he had the part. I said, hey, Leon, and he's sitting at a table, and he looks up and gave me that, one of those, that look. That had me.
Now, Andrew Gunling dug up actually the clip of George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld, where Elaine goes to him and says she's not going to go to George's wedding because she doesn't want to be alone. She doesn't have a date. And let's see if George was good.
I don't have anyone to talk to, and I'm not sitting at that singles table all by myself.
Wait a minute, young lady. What's this about singles tables? I don't sit at singles tables. Singles tables are for losers. The Yankees have won 33 pennants and 22 world championships. We're winners. We don't sit with losers.
Well,
and I've got an idea. You're going to go to the party with me.
Oh, well, gee.
You dance, don't you? Lose a little weight, get yourself in shape. And then when they throw the bridal bouquet, you'll maybe get it.
No, mister.
Well, I know. You're the cause of all this, Costanza. It's your wedding, so either she goes with me or you're out of here. Yesterday's newspaper.
Of course she's going to go with you, Mr. Steinbrenner.
Well, that's fine. I don't like to put undue pressure on people.
Larry, I think he nailed it.
What did I just hear?
That's on YouTube?
What is that?
Where is it, Andrew?
I just Googled George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld, and it was the first clip that came up.
What?
You've never heard that since all those years?
No, I cannot even believe this exists. It's on YouTube. And you know what? He wasn't bad.
No, no, no.
At the end, it got bad. It did get bad at the end. But the
I thought he was brilliant.
Oh, God. I know. I know you did.
He wasn't bad. I don't know.
You're kind of hard on him.
I don't know what we were thinking.
Because you envisioned something that was different, but now over time,
yeah,
it seems like it's pretty funny.
Now you kind of feel sorry that you cut it out.
No, not really.
He knows it was the right show.
Well, season 10 starts in 2 weeks.
A week from this Sunday, the 19th.
A week from this Sunday.
Yeah.
HBO doesn't do ratings, but I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I don't even know what they mean.
Right.
When they was telling me the numbers on Seinfeld, I didn't know what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
I never really paid attention to them. Not like you guys.
We pay attention.
You guys pay attention.
Is it just the viewership or do they add the stream? Is that,
if they gotta cut the stream.
We've been told.
Wait, you haven't said this is the last season, right? You're leaving it open?
I'm leaving it open. Yeah, I haven't said that.
Don't say it.
Yeah, please. Just continue.
Make people want more.
I mean, don't say I'm doing another season.
Don't say anything.
Gee, I like what you've been
Let
doing.
Let people guess.
I never say anything. I like to see if I can write it first.
Right.
Before I say I'm doing it.
I mean, the only way it's the last season is if you kill yourself off in the last episode. You don't have to do that.
I tried to do that, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I did it in season 5. I killed myself and went to heaven. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you this. I was sent an advanced copy of the first show. It's wonderful. I'm not going to give away anything, but it's worth watching again. It's hard to be great all the time. Believe me, I know that. So it must be difficult for you.
Oh, Michael. So difficult.
Did you ever envision this sort of, I mean, you're not, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I will. You're adored. I mean, people love you. You're an American icon. Did you ever envision this for yourself?
Moi?
Yeah, you.
I mean, come on, no.
Did you ever want it?
Did you envision that you'd be the announcer for the Yankees?
Yeah. Since I was 9, I wanted to be.
But did you envision it? Did you see it? Did you think you would?
I hoped. I didn't know.
You hoped?
Yeah,
really?
I hoped.
That's interesting.
Yeah. What else could I do?
Yeah.
If Bernie were to win the election.
Oh, my God.
Would you be happy to constantly make appearances on SNL?
Is that hard for you?
You can't deal with it. You couldn't deal with coming here all the time, could you?
You know, I loved being on the show. I loved doing Bernie on the show. But to go in and the traveling from L.A. to New York for the weekend, that's
how does that work? What day will they call you?
Sometimes they call me on Thursday, come in tomorrow. So I'll have to fly in on Friday.
Have you said no before?
No.
So you obviously still enjoy it.
I feel some sense of obligation now.
To the show.
Yeah, because it'll look kind of off.
Mm-hmm. If they have Kate McKinnon doing
somebody
Bernie.
Else doing
do you have any relationship with Bernie?
I met him when I did the show.
And what was he like? And was he into the impression?
He seemed friendly enough.
You know? He seemed like him.
Yeah, he seemed like him.
He seemed like you doing him.
Exactly, yeah.
It's uncanny. It may be it's as good an impression as being done of any of them.
You know what, really? When you're from Brooklyn, everybody sounds the same.
Right.
Like, I could do anybody from Brooklyn. Any guy from Brooklyn is kind of easy to do. We all have the same sort of speech patterns, and it's easy to fall into. The first time I ever saw him on television, I began to repeat what he was saying
mm-hmm.
because I just felt like I had that voice, that it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... There's not much to it if you're from Brooklyn.
Now, the last episode you were on was the Eddie Murphy episode. What was that vibe like in the studio? It must have been electric.
Yeah, very exciting.
Did you have a relationship with Eddie Murphy?
No, I had only met him once before.
I always wanted to ask. I'm glad I just remembered. So I watched the end of the show and I see everybody talking and hugging. What's being said? You were in a deep conversation that show with somebody. What are you talking about as the music is playing at the end of the show? Where's the after party, or is it something deep?
You know, you're just trying to fake your way through a conversation.
Are you really?
Because all you really want to do is get the hell out of there. You know?
Do you ever go to the after party?
Yeah, I do.
And you stay till like 4 in the morning?
No, I stay till 3.
Do you
really? Interesting.
Do you party when you go out? Are you getting drunk ever at events like that?
Well, that's personal.
Very personal.
Well, he goes out in public.
No,
never
drunk. No.
Tips, you have a few drinks.
Not a few. One, maybe one.
Do you have a drink of choice?
Oh, Peter.
Oh, look at this.
Peter, really probing here.
This is big stuff.
I know. He's been waiting years to meet you.
You know, I guess if I had to have a drink, I would have a martini.
What's your favorite Shiva food?
What is wrong with you?
Your big fish game.
This is a big moment for Peter. Yeah, he doesn't want to leave anything on the table.
I've quit going to those things.
You're not grazing M&Ms?
No, yeah.
The Shivas are they're the worst.
Well, yeah. Somebody died, Peter. Yeah. Of course they're the worst.
I know, but I mean, you have the funeral and the Shiva. It's just so much already. And it's like a party, but it's a depressing party. It's horrible. I understand. I support you on that.
Now, before we let you go, because I know you're up against the clock, you mentioned earlier you liked the Yankees 2 years ago. They were fun and lovable.
Yeah.
Now, someone who's a huge fan of yours is the manager of the Yankees, Aaron Boone. He's listening right now.
Is that right?
And he just texted me. He said, "This is gold. By the way, I think we're lovable."
Huh. How are you lovable with a pitcher who's costing you, what, 30-something million a year?
You can still be lovable.
I don't think so. They're lovable to me because I'm a fan.
Right.
But not to anybody else.
Well, now, I mean, they're the evil empire.
I mean, Don, you're not a Yankee fan,
no.
Right? And you have to admit, though, that you liked him a little bit more in 2017 than you do now.
Well, yeah, because it's new, it's fresh, it's young team.
Well, Judge came out of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah. It's like an underdog story. You like that.
You didn't hate them that
right.
year,
and you
right?
loved them in 96, too. Like, well, you know, there wasn't a hateable team necessarily
exactly.
in 96. 98,
I'm
they become
saying,
this evil
they're,
empire.
They're a hateable team again.
Well, but Aaron Boone is lovable.
I like Aaron Boone.
Yeah. He's a very nice guy.
God, how could you not like Aaron
Boone?
But he
was specific to why you feel that way. When Stanton came
yeah,
aboard,
you
had that
it.
Had that late 90s feel
exactly.
to it.
Exactly. I didn't want to go back to
right.
that.
So as a Yankee fan, if you had a button to push, you would not have had them sign Cole so they could still be lovable.
I wouldn't sign Cole or Stanton. I'd rather win through the farm system in trades.
Interesting.
I think there's a lot of people. I think Brian Cashman feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, to a point, but I mean, they did sign Cole. I mean, how do you turn down the best pitcher in baseball?
I mean, these 8-10 year contracts, they never work
Brian
out.
Brian Cashman just texted, "We're lovable."
Cashman too.
Yeah.
By the way, though, but it's refreshing to hear you say that because I don't think Yankees fans they generally the calls we get, Larry. You hear the show sometimes.
Yeah.
They just want every single great player available.
No, I don't want that. I want the playing field almost level.
Right.
I want to win with
some scrappers.
Scrappers.
Some
right,
stars.
Yeah.
A couple stars.
So
exactly.
you love Ronald Torres.
I did like him.
The big Torres guy.
I did. He was good.
And also,
I always knew you were a Torres guy.
Gives you the wiggle room of enjoying a season in which you don't win. Now, if you anything short of a championship,
I mean,
is almost a waste of time.
It's almost like even if you do win the championship, there's almost a so what quality to it. So what? You were supposed to. You should have. As opposed to the 2017 team, wow! Look what we did. And I think it's a huge difference.
Will you be going to the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers this year?
The Yankees and the Dodgers, huh?
Mm.
Well,
kind of lovable.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go. Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you go to Dodger games?
It doesn't. It
you
doesn't,
saved a life. Once.
I still root the same.
Right.
I'm still going to be rooting for the team. I'm just saying I'd rather root for a team without big free agents.
Gotcha.
When you arrive in New York, does it feel like home or does it feel like I'm on a trip and I can't wait to get back to L.A.?
Well, I have a house in L.A.
Right.
So
that's home.
But of course, this feels like home when I walk around. Yeah.
So they both feel like home.
Yeah.
In a way.
One feels like home because of the house. The other feels like home because of the environment.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
So if you could actually move the house into New York.
Yeah, if I could have that house here.
Right. And the weather.
And the weather. Right. I would live here. Yeah.
Larry, I will see you later
great
tonight. Stuff. We thank you for coming. It was so nice of you
that
to do
great.
This.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you
pleasure.
So
much.
Thank
the
you.
Great
thank you.
Larry David. When we come back, we'll talk about what we just talked about, more about the Giants hire of a new head coach. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, David, and you right here on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.